Blog Talk Radio.
Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, look. Human life in a tight crunch, hypnotized, 9 to 5 world. Yep, that's right, the paradigm, sir. Improvise, improvise, force. Break it down, check it out, look. Chant it down, check it out, look. Chant it down, make analysis. Chant it down, all the fallacies. Chant it down, you've been lied to. Chant it down, we see rise. Can't we metamorphosize? With like a lamp, we're shedding light to it.
Live from the Hawaiian Islands. It's Chant It Down Radio with your host, Lewis of People Beyond.
Break it down, chant it down, look. Break it down, chant it down, look. Break it down, chant it down, look. Break it down, chant it down, look.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to Chant It Down Radio. I'm your host, Loomis. Welcome to Chant It Down Radio, where we chant down Babylon to the fullest degree, dissect the life we live in, and try to figure out a way out of this craziness we live in. And if you're joining us from the past episode one, welcome back. This is episode 2, and tonight I have a special guest. His name is Sun Tuck, and he is a awake mind. He's an activist, a presenter of information, an experiencer of life beyond. He's a Qigong practitioner, and he was a caretaker for East City Ranch, which is a UFO hotspot in the state of Washington. And I'm going to go ahead and get him up here, and we'll see what happens. Sun Tuck, are you there?
Hey. Hey, Sam. Hey, Lewis.
Yeah, there you are.
All right.
Well, welcome to Chant It Down Radio.
Chant It Down Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay. There's a little echo. I don't know what that is all about.
Oh, here, let me just take off the headset and use the speakerphone.
Maybe that's it.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you well.
Awesome.
All right, welcome to Chant It Down Radio. I was just explaining, giving you a little intro, and this show, we talk about becoming free and breaking out of the matrix and just trying to find the steps to getting out of this sort of mess that humanity's in, and trying to just find some truth and a healthy way to survive. And that's why I brought you up, because I know you have a lot of ways that you see out of this, and you yourself are an experiencer of life beyond, and have had your own experiences out there, not strictly on East City Ranch, but many, many different places. So, I don't know, tell us a little bit about your experience out there on the ranch.
Well, I guess that starts with me getting on the spiritual path, learning massage and energy work, and naturally led me to my teachers, who taught me about energy and Bagua, you know, the internal Kung Fu training. And then that led me to there where I was living for 3 years. It's known internationally as a UFO hotspot, and there's just a lot of phenomena there. And any given weekend during the open season, you'd have about 30 to 50 people coming by the property, either camping out, stopping by for the night, or getting rooms to check out the activity. And there was a lot of phenomena, not just UFOs, but phenomena in general, you know, from elves and fairies, gnomes, to Bigfoot, and even pterodactyl. Like, I swear, I saw a pterodactyl flying over the property, like, on 3 different occasions, you know?
Yeah, I've seen your pictures, and you know, there's proof just in that alone. I've never been there myself, but I've seen some of those photos and videos you have of the like green aura is flying over you. It's pretty incredible. It's pretty mind blowing.
Right.
Green orb.
And we have a lot of that phenomenon here too, here in Hawaii. You know, Hawaii being one of those hot spots. I realized that what makes it an area of high phenomenon activity is that it's a geomagnetic hot spot. You know, so up in Washington, it's a dormant volcano, and other places where it exists on like a be it a fault line or a volcano, you know, there's a huge potential of electromagnetic potential. And so I think that's what determines if there's a lot of high energy there or not, you know. So here in Hawaii, we have a lot of that.
Yeah, we do. And I wonder, yeah, sometimes if the large military population, large military influence here has anything to do with that too. I've just heard speculation on some of the, you know, high frequency radars or low frequency radars they have out here have something to do with that too. Same idea.
Oh yeah. It seems the military are no fools to this. You know, they know exactly where all the high energy spots is, and what they do is they actually will plant a military base right next to the spiritual spot, you know.
I noticed that. Like on Kaiana Point of this island, they have all kinds of stations up there, satellite radar, and that was in ancient Hawaiian days, the jumping spot for spirits to the next world.
Right. I heard, yeah, it's a jumping spot where they jump off to the next dimension or something, and I heard there's a vortex right off of Kaiana Point.
Uh-huh.
And the vortex, during certain times, certain alignments, that vortex is active, you know, and I'm not too sure the statistics of that, but yeah, it's so interesting. Our military knows exactly where these spiritual hotspots are, and they plant a military base, put an observatory, dig some underground tunnels, and take advantage of that energy, you know?
Yeah. I've thought that before, and I've never really talked about it with anybody, but I've just thought in my own head, like, yeah, you know, every time I see some of these, like, really epic spots that have some kind of big energetic force, there's always either some kind of military or some kind of antenna system there or something that they kind of reap that energy themselves. It's really strange.
Right.
Yeah. So with that, it's like here in Hawaii, I've seen a few accounts myself, and I believe it's a really important place here on Earth. Some people say it's the center of the second continent, Mula Maria, which is probably true, and there's it's just the most isolated island chain on Earth. It's a really unique spot on Earth, so it seems like it would attract very unique phenomenon anyway.
Oh, there's so much to be said about that. Yeah, definitely. Like you said, you know, it's the mountaintops of the remnants of Lemuria or Mu.
Mu.
Mu. There's a Captain Admiral Byrd who supposedly have documentation that he flew into the. He was flying over the North Pole, and all of a sudden he reaches a tropical paradise, and he thought he had passed the North Pole, but what happened was. There's accounts that he actually flew into the center of the Earth. Supposedly, you know, there's the hollow Earth theory, yeah?
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, it's just... he flew in, you know, where it's supposed to be ice. It just went... The landscape just went in, and he went into a tropical paradise, and he thought it was... He reached the... he passed the North Pole, but he actually went in, and when he came back out, you know, he... was fascinated with ancient continents and all, and he actually said that there are megalithic monuments in the oceans between Maui and Oahu.
Oh, I've never heard
like
of that.
Like how there is in Japan, there's some huge megalithic monuments in the ocean. Bermuda, you know, there's some huge megalithic monuments. Here, supposedly there is some huge ones in between the islands, and my friend made a comment that, you know, that's probably where the night marchers are marching, you know. They march from the mountaintops down into the ocean, you know.
Mm-hmm. And for those that don't know, night marchers are ancient warrior spirits that have a lot of folklore here in the islands. A lot of taboo and a lot of kind of campfire stories involve that too. But there is a lot of truth to it as well.
Yeah,
anyway.
I've known personal friends who've actually had encounters with the night marchers, and interesting phenomenon. They're like trapped in between a different reality, you know.
Oh yeah, interesting. So, what would you say about people that have seen this kind of phenomena, and it's sort of shifted their paradigm? What what have you seen happen with people that have been just totally like turned around and just had were doubters of this, and then all of a sudden they see what you've been talking about and they just it just blows their mind. What does it do to these people?
Oh yeah, like the property. You know, usually people would come to the property at East SETI and they would experience something and just get blown away. You know, and the common thing that I hear is that they go back home, they're at a family gathering, and they're looking up at the stars, and they none of their family really understands what they're into, and so they pray and they ask that something shows up, light up for their family, and sure enough, something lights up, you know, and they're just like, my whole family saw that, you know, they're just blown away, you know. So what it seems like, you know, for me, a lot of the phenomenon is to actually activate and trigger our imagination so that we sort of awaken that kid within us again and dare to believe, dare to imagine what's out there, you know, because as Einstein said, you know, imagination is more important than intelligence, you know. Is that
right?
Is that the quote? Something like that, right?
Something like that. I don't know the exact quote, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Right, something to that effect, because it's our belief in reality that determines what kind of reality we live in. And so when people open up your minds like that, when things happen and it opens up your minds like that, it just sets you up for more experiences, because you start to look in between events, in between the spaces, in between the breath, you know, where true magic lies, you know, where the creator exists, you know, in everything. Between
yeah,
everyone.
That's correct. You know, it's like when I've talked to some people about, you know, on this show, and what we kind of talk about is, you know, getting completely free and away from, you know, government and control and all that. And a lot of people I've talked to just in the world, like, I can't imagine doing that. And when people say they can't imagine, that tells me that they don't have an imagination anymore. Their imagination's been dulled down through becoming an adult and working in the world and not going and venturing on to the other side of things and seeing more. I see the imagination really dying off, and the only place that it really exists is in movies and entertainment. They've captured our imagination, as Disney has its quote, "We capture your imagination," or something like that. It's interesting. They really did. But yeah,
right.
That's it. It's like imagination. A lot of people, you know, I don't even know sometimes even to go as deep as we're talking right now with a lot of people, because they're just going to be ridiculing, because they don't have anything to base it off, I guess. Yeah. Interesting. But so have you seen these people who have witnessed all this phenomenon just kind of change in their life? Has their whole paradigm shifted? Have they kind of dropped what they thought was important and gone to do higher callings?
I think it really depends on people and how deep they dig into it. You know, some people are really ripe and ready, and just one experience like that will just catapult them to research and be a seeker on with the mysteries of life. And other people may take more inoculation, you know. But,
right.
You know, a lot of times the beginning path to awakening is, you know, you start to realize that the control, you start to research the control system, you know, be it religion, be it the government, and you start just to uncover all of that stuff. And some people get stuck on that and they can't get moved past the control system. And that's a trap in itself, you know, because you need to let that go in order to move on to the next stage of understanding, which is, you know, the part that we are created in the image of the creator. And as such, we need to create. And if you're always looking at other people's stories and what other people have created, you forget to create yourself, you know, because this is a collective co-creation.
Correct. Yeah,
that,
totally agree.
I don't know if that sounded a little complicated or what, but there's a lot of creating and creation.
No, it's good. I mean, that's what we're kind of here to do, is besides just live, we're supposed to create. And any
right.
indigenous culture you look at, they had a huge imagination. They had a huge, vast awareness of another world. And we've all cut that out of our lives. You know, we don't have that. I've noticed that all these indigenous cultures have all kinds of, whether you say, people say they're myth or fact or whatever, they have tremendous amount of different characters and things that they would pass on to their children, and they would put in these stories, and our culture doesn't have any of that.
Right. I mean, the definition of mythology, the definition of myth, someone gave me a really good definition. They said the definition of myth, the mythology, is historical facts sworn as truth by kings and priests. That was the definition of a mythology. You know? I mean, that makes
controllers.
Sense.
Controllers again, you say, you know, priests and kings.
Right, right. And if you look at, like, all the indigenous cultures, they're all rich with mythology. This can go so many ways. And then in other cultures, you know, they preserve their spiritual teachings through their art, through their dance, through their chants, through their through the hula, you know. And in the West, you know, in a lot of the wisdom keepers of the West, they were all branded witches, and they were kind of wiped out, you know. So that's why
right.
the West is a little bit out of tune because of that, you know.
Right. Yeah, makes a lot of sense. You were saying how. Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Don't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. And here in the West, you know, I mean, you know, in Taoism, you know, the nature is the best teacher. And a lot of indigenous cultures, they're nature-oriented people. And you don't really realize how much the modern-day technology disturbs and interrupts your energy until you kind of cut it out. And when I was living at the ranch, I had a yurt that just had a wood stove, and in my yurt, there's no Wi-Fi, no electricity, and, you know, I'd light candles, and it was just amazing. I would wake up to the tune of the sun, you know, as soon as the crack of dawn, I'd get up, and it was just amazing energy. And when I moved back to the city here, wow, you start to really see the assault on your senses, you know, the artificial lighting, the sound, the electromagnetic frequencies, the Wi-Fis. When I first moved back into the city, here in Honolulu, it's not a very big city, but compared to where I was, this is a big city, and that all of the electromagnetic pollution and constant assault on your senses really was very hard to adapt to in the beginning.
Oh, I bet. Honolulu is not big as in, like, it's compact, though, and everybody's on top of each other, so I think there's like 1,500 people per square mile. It's one of the most densest U.S. cities in that form, and that means that we have more Wi-Fi and more stuff stacked on each other, so we're getting all kinds of that interruption and interference. I mean, not just Wi-Fi, but all the stuff that we use in civilization.
Makes
probably
sense.
We also got that huge
globe-like mobile heart station in Pearl Harbor.
Oh, the X-band radar. Yeah, yeah. That is pretty. It looks like the Death Star. It looks ominous.
Right. Is that what they call it, the X-band radar?
Yeah, it's supposed to track missiles and stuff, but it has a lot more functions. You know, that's the cover story. It's a ballistic missile.
I've heard accounts of people working on that thing, and they say when they go near that thing, like, it, you can feel it, you know, and it doesn't feel good, you know.
No, that's right. I could see that with climbing a mountain here at Mount Kaala. They have a huge radar on there, and I could feel that thing, and it pulsated through my brain, and I could just, like, I just wanted to get away from it. It was really, a really kind of, like, high-pitched feeling in my brain. I just couldn't explain it, but it was horrible.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Part of the another thing I wanted to mention why Hawaii is so important is that you know, they say Oahu is like the throat chakra, and Big Island is the root chakra, and just like how we have foot reflexology, where we can work on the entire body through the feet, the Hawaiian Islands, you know, it's also considered like the heart chakra of the planet, or like the for like the a reflex point for the entire Earth, you know.
Correct.
When you mention paradise, when you mention you know, paradise or on planet Earth, you know, first thing that comes to mind, to everyone's mind, is Hawaii. You know, for some reason, Hawaii holds a significance in people's in people's mind and heart, you know. There was a feng shui, book that talked about how the mountainscape of China resembles a dragon, and the mountainscape of America, United States, also resembles a dragon. And if you look, both of these dragons are facing off, and they're in this ring of fire, and they're facing off towards this ring of fire. In the center of the ring of fire, there is a pearl, which is a volcano, but also there's a pearl, and just so happens there was a war for that pearl, Pearl Harbor, you know?
Very interesting. I never thought about that. That is interesting.
Very interesting. Pearl Harbor, you know, and there was also conspiracy theories about Pearl Harbor that, you know, that was actually baited, you know, that they sacrificed that and baited the Japanese to attack, you know?
Yeah, because they were told, people were told to stand down. They said it was a false alarm or something. I don't know the details too much, but yeah, it could have been a false flag. It probably was. It definitely got America involved, and that's what they wanted.
Right, so, and they got a chance to use that A-bomb, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they were itching to use that in those days. Yeah, and then they bombed the 33rd parallel in Japan, I believe it was. And that's a significant in numerology.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's
very interesting.
It all is. But you know how you were saying a little bit ago how people do get trapped in the study of the control system and all the problems instead of just trying to find any solutions. I hear you when you say that, because I know I've even been to you with you at some of these gatherings of Awake Minds, and it seems like people are still kind of just stuck in that, and they're not trying to find the next path out. They're just kind of like still talking about, and a lot of people on some radio shows even too, I hear, just kind of the same sort of study of the control system and showing us the problems, but without any solution-oriented
approach. I guess that's a natural stage of development and learning, you know, and unfortunately, it can be a lifelong journey. You know?
Yeah.
And the more you dig into that, the more you find it's a bottomless pit, you know? So each person has to really determine when is enough is enough, because next thing you know, you're just thinking, dreaming, sleeping, breathing about dark side and control system, you know? Then you're like, enough, forget it.
Right. Yeah. So would you say that one of the answers is to kind of sort of to experience this outer world phenomena that can help kind of transform minds and realize, hey, there's more out there than just this whole conspiracy and whatnot. Does that seem to be an answer to you?
Yeah,
I think it's
part of the answer. I think the what people need to do is they need to ask the deeper questions and bring it full circle, you know, like because I had a dark experience, you know, what people would call the dark night of the soul. My first teacher tricked me into taking the Tura, you know, it's called Angel's Trumpet, and it's just dark underworld stuff, and he tricked me into taking that medicine, and man, I had dark years of the soul, and I ran towards the light, you know, and thinking that was what I needed to do, and then I realized that that what I actually needed to do was embrace the light and the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just, so some people just focus on uncovering the truth, uncovering the deceptions and the darkness and all the manipulation, and then, you know, some people are just don't want to look at that. They just want to look at the love and light material. They want to focus on the positive, the angel and the fairy message. But that's still, if you're not looking at the complete picture, you're still incomplete, because the source our creator is whole, and he encompasses everything. And so I think people need to have a healthy balance, like a sword, you know, that cuts both ways. You know, consciousness, if you focus too much on the light, then you forget where your place is, you know. Too much darkness, you forget that light, where light stands, you know.
Ah, yeah, I agree with that. It's almost like imbalance of the brain, one side or the other. You get
right.
too caught up in the... I heard a great talk, actually, and anybody listening should check it out. It's by a radio show host named Mark Passio. And what he did is he spent 8 hours or so breaking down the New Age movement. He called it the New Age deception. And what he was kind of showing is a lot of the
right.
the crap that is put out there actually been peddled by Satanists, who he was an ex-Satanist, so he has a lot of knowledge. This guy is pretty brilliant. And he pretty much he gave 10 concepts of the New Age that are totally false, and it's what a lot of people
right.
kind of live by. But what he was kind of getting at is that the right brain is being right brain offset in the right brain is kind of that mode where you're just looking at like all the light and not encompassing any of the darkness or the action. And then the left brain imbalanced people are kind of focusing on more of the, well, not necessarily the control system, but society is mostly a left brain society, I guess you could say.
Right.
But
right.
it's still like he was kind of showing, yeah, that whole New Age thing is a deception, a lot of it, and there are truths within, but it's mostly a right brain imbalance, and they haven't taken in the full spectrum like you're talking about with, you know, the darkness and the light, because the Creator is one, all that.
Right. It is. A lot of the New Age, I've heard theories that the New Age movement was actually created by the CIA to create pacifism, you know?
Correct.
To breed pacifism into people, you know, to get them to just to be non-participatory and just don't look at it. You know, why are you focusing on the negative? You know, just not look at it. And that's not how you solve problems. You know, this is a co-creation, and we need to take more responsibility, not ignore it.
Yeah, that's it. One of the concepts, one of the 10 things that were what he was talking about is don't focus on the negative. And I couldn't agree more. A lot of people I've tried to be like, hey, look, they're spraying the sky today. You see that? And they, oh, I don't want to look at that. It's just dark. Or, you know, they don't even want to, like, take it in. And it's not that I want them to take it in and have a horrible day, but they need to be aware of the fact that there is something going on, and they don't even want to have any part in it. They just want to, like, go meditate on the happiness, and everything's just going to
right.
go away. And that's not true.
Right.
And
it's a double-edged sword, yeah?
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Just like the the gun control issue, you know what I mean? Same thing, you know. I mean, some people believe that we should give away our Second Amendment rights, and some people swear by it, you know. And dude, I do not like guns, but I understand why we have the Second Amendment in place. You know, it's very important, actually. You know,
right? The means to defend yourself against tyranny and tyrants and people that would come. That is our right, a natural right,
right
to
foreign,
defend ourselves.
Right, foreign and domestic terrorists, you know?
Yeah.
Foreign and domestic.
And they've got the whole nation divided. It's sick. I don't like to visit the mainland much because I seem to see it worse over there than over here. I guess Hawaii's kind of its own world. But over there, everybody's really, like, pinned against each other. It's pretty ugly and disgusting. Like, you got the Republican side of everybody, you know, They're all pro guns, which has its point, but they're really caught up in their ways that they're not seeing the full picture. And then you got the whole Democrat side where everybody's like all passive and, oh no, let's get rid of these guns, they're causing all the problems. And I see, you know, flaws in both sides, but that's all I see is this dualistic thing going on, this polarized opposites there, and they're not seeing the bigger picture. In that, just
yeah.
that issue alone. But it makes me, I'm disgusted when I visit over there because people are really caught up in that realm more than I don't know. I don't visit over there much, and then when I do, I'm like, oh, I forgot about all this. Yeah.
Yeah,
over here,
it reminds
we don't really have that.
Yeah, it reminds me of my friend. We were having a conversation. He was like, man, it's like they got people fighting an ism, you know, a terrorism. It's fighting an idea. And it's the same concept that Mao used when he was fighting China, you know. He was a weaker, smaller group of people, but he just kept harassing, intimidating the army, wearing on their patience. And next thing you know, his army just grew. And that's what they're doing right now, you know. This terrorism idea is it's a shadow, you know. You're fighting a shadow that doesn't really exist where you think it is, you know.
Yeah.
And they're dividing people, wearing people's nerves thin. Next thing you know, you're just easily led to and divided, you know, because you're just distraught and after the long. Because you know terrorism is not an overnight war, you know what I mean? It's in fighting against an ism that doesn't really exist. So it's just where
no end.
Yeah, there's no end.
Yeah, that's why some people say that's actually World War III is this war on terrorism. You know, it's a war that's never ending, and it's over. A lot of it's over 9/11, which was a complete fraud, and you got people.
Right.
Leaving on that. That's what really gets me hard is when I meet people. I feel like everybody's so duped that they believe, they keep swallowing all these different things that have gone on in the media, these false flag operations and whatever else. That now it's almost like, I feel like it's almost too late to undo their brainwash almost, because they believe a lie based on a lie based on a lie. So it's just like,
oh, I
can't I can't even get to them almost, you know. And that's a really hard one. That's where I kind of feel like psychedelics might come in play better. If you want to venture into the world of the plant psychedelic life, I think that might open people. Not for everybody, but I think it really has benefits.
Oh, it's so amazing. One good dose of psychedelics will undo all your programming. It'll just like drop one of those like a smart bomb into all your mental concepts, and it'll just self-destruct in time. You know what I mean? Demolition of your preconceived notions of reality. You really start to see what's important in life, our interconnectedness, and all of that. You know?
Yes, and it also shows people humility. And I think a lot of people are kind of really on their egos, and it breaks down your ego. You know, having a strong foundation in humility is kind of key to understanding where we need to be and what is love too, I think. And a lot of people they let their ego take control for so long that they're running wild with it, and only maybe an experience like that, maybe a life death experience could help too. But psychedelics is pretty much the way to go. It's like a good prerequisite to understanding the world, I believe. I also have ventured a lot in younger years too, so I've been able to kind of develop, you know, for a while based off of these trips, and it's helped me tremendously. I don't know where I'd be kind of without it, to tell you the truth, because I might be just like everybody else. I don't know. Oh, did we lose Sun? We did. We lost Sun. Oh, there he is. Okay. I think we lost Sun. Sun?
Hey, I just got back. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know what happened. I don't know. That happened to me my first episode, actually. I got kicked off twice. I don't know what happened. It's weird.
Oh. I got cut off exactly at 3:33 p.m.
Oh, did it? Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
3:33. So I was just explaining, I don't know, I was just talking about how psychedelics are a good prerequisite to kind of understanding the world. And in my own personal life, as I went over in the first episode, that's what helped me to be ready for the information and that I'm covering on this show. Just kind of, it just dropped the ego, and it helped show me things that I couldn't do without going in those experiences in that realm. I think it's a real beneficial thing for a lot of people to go there. And
yeah, I think all cultures, all indigenous cultures with shamans and medicine men all had their own psychedelic that were medicine for the spirit and the mind, yeah?
Yeah.
And it's very key. It was key for my own path and a lot of people that I know. It was key for their path and understanding as well, you know. Just powerful teachers.
Right. And I've gotten arguments with people before, kind of the same sort of people we were just talking about in the New Age movement, how, oh, well, you can just get there by meditating. And you can, and I'm not saying you cannot, but I feel that if you want something right now and you know, at the moment and not have to, you don't have a lot of time in your life and you're going to go do it, it's like it's an instant dip into that world. And
well, I would ask those people if they've actually tried a medicine experience. You know, it doesn't sound like they did.
Usually not. Usually they haven't. You're right.
Usually not. They're biased and they're unwilling to let go of their platform that they're standing on, you know.
Right. I think they still kind of think of it as drugs. And I always say it's plants. Like Terrence McKenna would say, psychedelics are not drugs, but they're plants. And they're teachers and they're helpers, spirit helpers. I think anybody at a certain age should at least try once. You know?
Right. All drugs came from plants, you know, and plants are the natural balanced method that was intended for our consumption by nature, you know?
Right. Yeah. Some plants are poisonous, but they all have their own uses. And it's a whole medical library that they've erased. Those that came in and conquered and killed indigenous cultures stole that information from. And now most indigenous cultures, sad to say, I see it here in Hawaii, I see it anywhere I've gone, are usually a lot of times now the most dumbed down, eating junk food and totally removed from even knowing about the psychedelic realm. I see it a lot. It's hard.
I mean, there's definitely a war on the American people, you know, and the people in America is the enemy of this terror, of this tyranny, because of our right for freedom of speech and right to bear arms, you know, principally. without the right to bear arms, it's like we got no right to defend none of our rights, you know, and you can see that slowly dwindling away, you know?
Yeah.
Probably in a year or two, if we don't act quick, you know, we might not even have any rights left, you know, of privacy, right to bear arms, freedom of speech, all of that. I mean, look at freedom of speech, you know what I mean? That is even slowly being taken away, you know? Just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really say what you want to say anywhere. You're going to get, actually, people act as the sheepdog a lot of times. They don't even have to have the cops around, but somebody, one of our own, you know, just fellow humans will try to defend their false notions and try to shut you down. It's unbelievable.
Right.
It's unbelievable, but it's believable too because we get hit by so many toxins, neurotoxins, and we can't even avoid some of it, but we get bombarded by so much. It's amazing we're even walking around and thinking at all. Sometimes I just think like how we're getting hit by, luckily I don't think we have fluoride in our water, but we get fluoride in the toothpaste if you use that. I don't, but you know, vaccinations and microwaves and cell phones and the aerial spraying and all that combined, we're pretty dumbed down, definitely. And I guess those of us like you and I and others, it didn't work on so well. We're still here.
I heard that there's like 1% of the population that is immune to all the brainwashing and the mind manipulation. You know, there's just an internal compass that knows what the truth is, you know.
I guess that must be us, or, you know, I would have given up a long time ago.
Right. You know, growing up in life, you start asking deeper questions, you know.
You should. Everybody should.
Right.
I started asking in school because I remember I was thinking, why is it there's a fence keeping us in, and why are we stuck here? And I just didn't acclimate too well to that whole concept of being in like kind of a prison all day. That's how I felt school was growing up, and I started asking questions, and teachers didn't like me very much because I kept asking the questions they didn't really have the answer to.
Right.
Yeah. So with the presentation you did a while back, you did a presentation, was it mostly about some of the UFO phenomenon or just kind of your journey here in life?
Oh, yeah. My presentation was entitled 9 Years Facing the Wall. And it was a chronological order of my spiritual path and the things that I've experienced. I've studied both of my – two of my main teachers were contactees. One of them was definitely a hybrid, you know. And didn't turn out to be the most loving teacher. And that taught me even more, you know, because if you want to learn about life, you know what I mean? People learn about life through the light, but you really want to learn about energy, you learn about the dark side and how they use energy. Then you really see what energy, how it's done, what are the rules and how it works, you know? So, my presentation was based upon that chronological order of my experiences. Pretty far out. I mean, a lot of people have told me, like, dude, I should write a book because it sounds like a movie. I mean, it literally is. Reality is so crazy that some of the movies that we see, like Stargate, Atlantis, and all that stuff, like, those are based on reality, you know? That's nothing, you know? Oh, man. A lot of people could not handle the truth. They could not handle the truth. Really knew what was going on in that, you know, what's happening here on planet Earth and our relationship to extraterrestrials and our history, secret government working with them, bases on the moon and Mars and stuff like that, and teleportation, time travel, you know. A lot of people would think that's all just sci-fi, you know, but people need to look deeper.
Well, it's because all they do is go to work and go home and watch TV, and that's the same routine they do. I see it all the time,
right.
And I'm stuck in it too, but I can't just go just do all that without being me.
Right.
But that's they're not asking questions.
Right. Earlier we were talking about how you had the two dragons of East and West. You know, in the East, the head of the dragon is at Hong Kong, which makes sense. Hong Kong is the international city, you know, international business city. And the dragon of the West, the head is in L.A., and specifically Hollywood. And so when I looked into Hollywood, I was like, wow, okay, check this out. Remember in the series Harry Potter, are you familiar with that series, and do you know what his wand was called?
It was made out of holly, right?
Exactly.
Hollywood? Yeah.
Exactly. Harry Potter, the star of the movie, when he picked the wand, that picked him was the Hollywood, because it was a sacred, it's a sacred wood, and it was used in Druidic cultures because it had magical properties and protective protective properties as well. So what they did was they named this place Hollywood, and that imbues it with that energy. That's how quantum entanglement works, you know? By calling something that thing, you imbue that energy with it, you know? So in the old days, in a village, in the old village and stuff like that, where the elders told stories to the younger generation, it was always the wisdom keepers, the elders, you know, that told the stories because you want them to learn correctly from the wise ones, you know. And so you wouldn't have the village idiot tell stories to your kids, right? Because he would be filling your kid with junk and trash into their mind. So now they imbued it, they call this place Hollywood, And what Hollywood does is it pumps out all these movies. Theater is secret. And so in theater, what they do is they cast, they script. When you cast, you're casting spells. Your script, cursive, you know, they're basically a huge propaganda machine. That dragon, when something comes out of Hollywood, it quickly becomes a worldwide phenomenon. You know, it sets the standard, you know, so it's a way of manifesting our collective timeline and reality through Hollywood. So Hollywood is the head of the dragon of the West, you know. Very, very interesting.
That is interesting. I didn't know anything about that at all. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Oh.
So when you see... Yeah. I mean, and when you start to look at everything, you're like, wow, you know, even where they build public schools, private schools, where they place city halls and stuff like that, it's all on strategic landmarks that is, it's all gridded like a circuit board on the land and connects with each other, you know, and it empowers and activates the program that they want to activate and runs the software that they chosen, you know. Amazing. The understanding is just
It's unbelievable. They do it right here in Honolulu. They do it downtown. They've strategically placed streets, statues.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You saw the video that I did of the Hawaii State Capitol?
No, I never did.
Hey, you didn't see that one?
I haven't seen it. You have a YouTube site, don't you?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel. It's Mr. Sun2K.
Okay.
So MRSON2K. And that's my YouTube channel. And I did a video on the Hawaii State Capitol here and how it's a Masonic Sun Temple. And there's a lot of sorcery and magic that's involved with that. You have to understand the history of King Kamehameha, that he fought his last war here on the Pali, and using his statue, Queen Liliuokalani, the Father Damien, and there's just one straight line that's embedded with all the symbolism, and if you see what's in this line, there's no doubt that this is a poetry, this is a script, a curse that's being written, a program that's being written, and then you see how it works, and you're like, wow, that's how these kind of things work, you know? It's amazing.
It's so embedded, we don't even see any of this at all. And
yeah, it's intricate. It's
very much so. Just the ley lines, they know all about that. And like I was saying, how they pillaged the indigenous cultures, they took that knowledge that they had, and they say they raped the mind of the shaman. That's what they did, is they took that, and then they used it on whatever landscape, because they figured out, you know, where all these ley lines were, maybe anyway, but these Masonic cultures took their knowledge and used it for their benefit.
Yeah, what's interesting, I mean, to give people a better understanding of what we're looking at here is that there was a video recently about a 12-year-old girl who did a genealogy report, and she actually traced and found evidence that all of our presidents, except probably one or two, are all related. Obama and Bush are both related, and they are actually related to the Queen of England.
Yeah, they're on the bloodline of Charlemagne, right? So I think
that's what it is. Yeah, I'm not too sure about the specifics, but supposedly that bloodline goes back to Rome, goes back to the ancient Greeks, and it actually goes back to Egypt.
Yeah.
So the pharaoh and the ruling class of Egypt is still running things.
And even further back to Sumer and probably Atlantis.
Right. Right. And so if you contemplate that and what that means, how is that so? It sort of starts to point you in the right direction, you know?
Correct. I agree with that totally. Yeah. So these are kind of the things, too, you know, that I believe are very useful for breaking people out of the matrix, is to kind of just show them, yeah, this is somewhat, this is the dark side, but it just shows them, you know, the reality they're living in. And And that's important. It's important to understand our situation so we know how to, like, get out of it, you know, or at least try with our imagination.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, where do you point people? You know, how do you tell, what kind of tools do you tell people who are just starting to realize this stuff? Because, you know, chances are people who start to realize this stuff, they're freaking out. They're like, holy shit. You know, right? Rightfully
yeah.
so, you know what I mean? There's a lot. I mean, it starts to become too much. And I think the most important thing is to keep a lighthearted nature and realize that this is a journey. And we chose to come here to experience this. It's like one of the rides on top of Carnival. You know, this is the most interesting, most exciting, most rewarding, full of emotions, full of up and downs. And we chose to come to this planet to experience this ride called human life, you know? And that's
yeah.
why we're here. And so, get excited, start living, man.
Yeah, that's it. Because I get, you know, some people don't like me too much because I told them the truth, and they think it's negative. And so when they start to say it's negative, they think I must live some really dull life in the closet somewhere, just in fear, or I don't know what they're thinking, but that's what I think they're thinking. And so what I realize is they have not embraced everything, but in all honesty, I enjoy life to the fullest degree. I enjoy life, and that's what I do. I mean, I have fun. I still go to movies. I still do all these other things too, but being aware and doing and living life, it can be rough at times, but it's like, we still kind of enjoy our lives and have fun, and it's not like we're just living in this dark cave, like thinking about, oh no, they're gonna get us. You know, I think that's what a lot of people think. I really do.
Right.
And it's like
right.
they just haven't embraced the full reality, like you were saying, the good and the bad. Yeah.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
For
what
sure.
I try to do is also stand back and just try to. You know, plant seeds, appropriate seeds, to help people to expand their awareness outside of conventional thinking. You know, there's a lot of people who are looking at solutions. They're looking at solutions through the conventional methods of through the system and through this group and through that party. And then, you know, when I first started on this path, I'd piss a lot of people off. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Right. I'm sure you do. I mean, because there's just a conflict of my understanding. You know, everyone's at different phases of understanding, and I think that's where, you know, where the skill comes in is to they say compassion is skillful is a appropriate skill. What was definition of compassion is applying skillful means. You know, of applying the appropriate energy to help someone along in their development. And that's definitely a skill that I have yet to really completely master, because sometimes my teachings can be a little blunt, you know, and direct.
Right. But sometimes, you know, I think there's a call for that too, the blunt and just straight up shock somebody.
Yeah.
There is,
I think
some people need that too. It just depends on the person. You know, I've heard some people say that you need to just yell it out and just let them have it, but I don't know, you know, that turns off people too, so it's a person to person, you know.
Yeah. I'd like to keep a lighthearted, I try to keep a light spirit and just keep dropping seeds and just keep it all light and playful, because that seems to go in deeper.
Yeah, because people are light and they open up more. If you're light, they'll open up more, usually. You know,
yeah.
It's like laughter opens up.
It doesn't bring
people
up their defenses, yeah.
Right. And I don't know if people can really handle someone just yelling at them and just giving it to them. You know, just going to put up their defenses, and they're going to think of them as an enemy right off, and they're going to disregard everything they have to say, you would think. Depends on the person,
right.
I suppose. Yeah, but
right.
people are always like, it is frustrating. I have a limited compassion and patience for the people that, you know, are still looking toward the establishment for answers, you know. Like, oh, well, we'll just vote and put someone new in, and you know, it doesn't really work that way.
I know.
Or even protesting doesn't seem to have any effect, you know, obviously, if, you know, that whole, what was that? I mean, there were some good things about the Occupy movement, maybe, but the whole thing didn't do a damn thing to anything or change anything. I don't see any differences in the life we're
right.
living.
You know, I was trying to plant seeds to people and like point people out that, you know, we choose these representatives to represent us, and then when they actually get in office, they vote whatever they deem is appropriate. You know, and chances, a lot of times their vote is swayed by their contributions, and that is clearly a breach of trust. And, you know, forget their 2-year, 4-year contract or 6-year. We should, you know, oust them out of office immediately. There should be a process where we're able to kick them out of office. Contract terminated. I mean, breach of trust. Contract terminated. In effect, immediately. You know what I mean? We have a process to impeach the president. Why should there not be a process for each representative of Congress?
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
what we need to do. We need to start kicking them out.
Yeah, I don't think we need them at all. If we were really trying to go on the right path.
Well, yeah,
you know,
I mean, just to transition, you know, because we all know how it can be, but the transition point is the most. How do we transition to that point with minimum chaos, minimum destruction and damage, you know, and that is the challenge. You know?
That is a challenge because I know that the gun supporters of the America are armed and ready for whatever. As soon as like the drop of a hat, it seems like they're ready to just, you know, use their weapons in a non-defensive way, and that could go really ugly. And I would hate to see that myself. I think
oh, I know,
would.
Yeah.
Just a really
right.
nasty sentiment out there with that whole, you know, I've heard people talking, and it's bad. So it's like we want to avoid as much as that as possible, but bring it down without hurting too many lives or
right,
then that is a challenge. Only we can do our little bits, and that's why I do this show and other things, just to kind of maybe help a few people and drop some knowledge and whatever else we can do. We can only do what we can do, but again, that comes back to the imagination, with being able to imagine further past this.
Yeah, I think we always got to have faith and trust that the goodness of humans will ultimately shine through, you know.
Right. And there still is goodness out there. I think that society propagates Hollywood, that you can't trust anybody anymore and everybody's evil. And really, when you do go out there, even though people are pretty dumbed down, a lot of people still have good hearts. They're not trying to hurt you,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And that's something to always keep in mind. That people really are good-hearted. Most people are good-hearted. And I think people have lost that, and they lock their doors, and they don't talk to their neighbors, and they stay in their house, and, you know, that's a disconnection. Well, brother, thanks for coming on. I guess it's about over. My outro music didn't seem to want to come on, but we'll have you back on.
Sounds great. Thanks, Loomis. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on and sharing, and we'll have you back on and do things in the future.
Sounds great. We'll catch up again soon.
Okay, Ro. Take care.
All right. Aloha. Bye.
Aloha. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to Chant It Down Radio. This will be a little bit less infrequent while I'll be doing shows as much as I can. And we will get into the reality of things deeper and deeper, and going to go all directions with all kinds of great guests. So take care, everyone. Aloha. Chant down Babylon. Be a warrior, not a worrier.